Well, last week, last Sunday, was Jude Part 1, if you remember. And the essence of the message was contend for the faith. You remember that? Did anybody have an opportunity to do that this week? Yes? You want to tell us?
Had some very interesting conversations at the pool yesterday. I go and work out, and was speaking with one of the other people that had been in the class, and somehow the conversation rolled around to current events and just the way the world is just in such a state of turmoil. I don't know any other way to put it, and I just kept talking about how important it was. She's a Christian also, and it's just... We were talking about how important it is to let our light shine in the darkness. And even when there are people and things that we don't agree with, it's still our job from Jesus to love them. You know, we are not to be the judges. He is the judge. So it was just a really wonderful, refreshing conversation after a good workout.
There you go. You may remember that we said last week at the beginning that there was some bad news and some good news, and Jude Part 1 was a lot of bad news, and that Jude Part 2 today is a lot of good news. There's bad and good news in both parts, but today is mostly good news, I think. You know, Jude is a very short book. It's only one chapter. It's just 25 verses, but it is a powerful message. It is a powerhouse. We only covered 16 verses last week, so we got about halfway through the letter. And here is a summary for those of you who took a nap during the sermon last Sunday. People are going to rebel against God's authority. It's happened ever since Adam and Eve. I told Lois in the car on the way here this morning, I could just strangle Adam and Eve. They have really messed up life for all of us. People are going to rebel against God and his authority, and some of them might even be religious leaders, disguised as angels of light, false prophets, and they might even appeal to us in their preaching and their leading. And however, we need to be discerning. We need to seek God's guidance in all of that and not follow the false prophets. And beyond that, we need to speak up and defend the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to do it with confidence because God is with us. That's good news. God is with us. And now we can sum all of that up with four words. Contend for the faith. That's what Jude said. I hope that brought back some memories for you from last week. Now here's part two. As we continue, beginning in verse 17, he said, but you must remember. Well, now that should catch our attention, shouldn't it? I underlined here the word must. You must remember. Remember what? Well, he goes on. He says, you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in part one, Jude warned us not to listen to the predictions of the false prophets. And in contrast, now he's saying, but you must listen and remember to the prediction of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. An important statement here, and it should sound very familiar to you. The prophecies of false prophets may come true some of the time, but they will never come true 100% of the time. But the prophecies of the prophets of the Bible, and including the apostles of Jesus Christ, will come true and have come true 100% of the time. You can bet your life on it. Did you hear that? You can bet your very life on it. Jude continues in verse 18 with this. He said, they said to you, they of course referring to the apostles, they said to you, in the last time. Well, we know what that is, don't we? We know that Jesus Christ is promising to come back And we know that there are going to be last times just before his return, and they're going to be characterized in part by what Jude has to say next. I'm reading, he said, the prophet said, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passion. It is these who cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit, capital S, Spirit. Now, to say that such people have been around for a long, long time is more than true. But to say that their influence is increasing today, in the day we live, like Debbie was saying, more than ever is also beyond true. The closer we get to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more this letter from Jude becomes alarming, if you will. Brothers and sisters, there is an urgent plea here from the Word of God. Contend for the faith now, now, more than ever before. And then he gives us six ways to do that. I love a plan. Six ways to do that. And these are all part of the good news. These are six exercises, if you will, or spiritual disciplines, some people might call them, to help us get through the end times, the times we're living in. These are spiritual exercises, and they require spiritual discipline on our part. And now you can sit there for the rest of this sermon and nod your head as you hear about all of these six spiritual disciplines, and then go home about your business as usual and do nothing about it. And if that's the case, you might as well start your nap right now and just don't even listen. But I need to hear these over and over, and I suspect I have some company here in this room. So join me, will you? This is exercise number one. It's from verse 20. He said, build yourself up in faith. What does that mean? How do you do that? Well, you should be able to preach the sermon yourself because you already know. You already know. You've been told. It starts with God's Word, the Bible. The holy book, it starts with God's word. We say it all the time. We must feed on the bread of God. We just sang that. We must feed on the bread of God. We must feed on his word. If you go to the doctor, does anybody go to the doctor? If you go to the doctor and he says, here's a pill. It's going to help you. I want you to take it every day. Well, you take those pills and you put them in the little containers that has Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You have it all organized and you take the pills every day. And as you take the pill every day. And when you take the pill every day, it helps you function. It helps you get through things. But, you know, if you miss a day, maybe it won't bother you. But if you start missing a lot of days, you're going to feel it. And if you cut out altogether, well, you know what happens. I plead with you. The Word of God is the same. You need to have that in you every single day. Every day you need to be reading the Word of God. I love what it says in Psalm 119. It says, your commands, Lord, are always with me, and they make me wiser than my enemies. They make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. You want to be wiser than the bad guys? Well, you need to take the pill every day, the Word of God. That's good news. The psalmist also said this in Psalm 119. He said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, he memorized God's word. And you know what? You have too. You have memorized some of God's word, some more than others. Some of you probably did memory courses of memorizing Bible verses. There's some great ones out there. But you learn to memorize portions of God's word because of repetition, because of hearing sermons, because of singing it. That's one reason I love the hymns of the church, because they are so often filled with the Word of God, with good theology. I mean, I like the songs too, but the hymns are meat sometimes compared. And you've memorized the Word of God. I want you to imagine for a moment, suppose I were to put you on the spot right now, and I were to ask you to raise your hand if you fed on God's Word this past week. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I say, suppose I were to ask you to raise your hand. Would you raise it? Some of you, yes. Would you raise it? Or would you lie and say, yeah, I did. You know you're lying, but you wouldn't look good. Or would you keep your hand down and be embarrassed? Well, I'm not going to put you on the spot to do that way, but you know what? The author of that word knows the answer. He knows the true answer. He knows whether or not you fed on his word this past week or not. And you know, he will either pour out blessings on you for feeding on his word, or he will withhold his blessings from you from skipping your pills. That was exercise number one. Here's number two. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Here's what that does not mean in the original language. That does not mean praying in tongues. Praying in tongues in an unknown language is a real phenomenon. It's in the Bible, but we're not going to go there yet. I don't know if we'll ever go there, but we're not going to go there. What we're talking about here is allowing God's Holy Spirit to guide you in your prayer time. Has anybody ever asked you in a group setting like this to pray out loud and you panicked? You panicked. Oh, I don't know what to say. I don't speak up in public. I might embarrass myself. Well, perhaps the reason that you're thinking that is that your mind is telling you that you're supposed to pray words to those people and impress them, and you want their approval. You may not realize you're thinking that, but you possibly are. When you pray to God, His Word says that His Holy Spirit will guide you and direct your thoughts, and hopefully your mouth too, if your mouth has to be emotion. And this is especially wonderful in Romans chapter 8, 26. It says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Oh, brother, I've been there. Have you ever been there? Wordless groans. Renee, you ever been there? The Spirit knows what you need and intercedes for you. Now, all of that has to do with praying out loud in front of other people, but there's the best example, maybe even the Bible, is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. He said, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, notice he did not say, and if you pray, he said, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That is good news. Brothers and sisters, in order to contend for the faith, the way Jude is describing in his letter means that you must be rooted in God's word and you must pray in the Holy Spirit. That is Christianity 101. And I said, I need to hear these things over and over again. And I'm ordained. You need to hear these things over and over again. Christianity 101. Okay, here's number three. This is from Jude verse 21. He said, keep yourself in the love of God. What does that mean? It means to focus on God's grace rather than focusing on how to earn His love for anything you might do. Focus on His amazing grace. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been married? Or are you married now? Well, that all-consuming love that brought you to the altar can easily be tested as time goes on. And it can even diminish sometimes. Why? Because of our imperfection. Not hers, or not his, but ours. So how did you or how do you deal with that in your marriage? Does it take a little effort sometimes? Yes. Did it take a little discipline sometimes? Yes. Did it take a lot of humility sometimes? Yes. Well, God's love for you never diminishes. Not in the slightest. It never diminishes. Your love for him might be a different story, unless you put some effort into it and some discipline into it and a lot of humility into it. It's a spiritual discipline. When you truly love somebody, you want to focus on them. When you keep yourself in God's love, you want to focus on him as he is focused on you. Hallelujah. That's good news. Okay, here's Jude's fourth exercise. He says, wait. We read another scripture today that had that in it. He said, wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. In the original language, he's talking about actively waiting, actively expecting, living on tiptoe because something is about to happen. It's waking up in the morning and saying more than, this is the day that the Lord has made. It's saying that this is the day the Lord may come back again. Hallelujah. I dare you to open every day with that prayer and see what happens in your life. Expectantly waiting. Here's his fifth discipline. And you'd use more words for this one than he did the others. Not because this one is more important, but because this one is more challenging than the others. Let me read it first. This is verse 22. He said, be merciful. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Let's dig into that a little bit. Who are those doubters he's talking about? In James 1:8, it describes doubters as being like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed about by the wind, double-minded in everything that they do, unstable. Have you ever experienced anybody like that when it comes to God and his word and his promises? Silly question. In Hebrews 6:4, it says a person like that is crucifying the Son of God over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. That's heavy. When you encounter someone whose spiritual doubts have caused them to stumble in the faith, it is very, very easy for you to want to avoid them. It may have even been a friend of yours that's no longer a friend of yours. But when they are a member of your own family, you may not be able to avoid them. It becomes very easy to avoid the issue. You withdraw for sake of harmony in the family. And sadly, that can become an excuse for shying away from the challenge that Jude gives us to contend for the faith. And that can be one of the heaviest crosses that you will ever have to bear on this side of heaven. What did Jude say to do here? He said, be merciful. Be merciful to them. How is God merciful to you? He loves you in spite of your sinfulness, in spite of your darkness. He loves you. And he does not abandon you. He does not withdraw from you. He's there with you even though you are a worm. How can you contend for the faith if you withdraw from someone who's gone astray? I mean, Jude even put it this way. He said, snatch them from the fire. Did I say this one is more challenging than the others? It definitely is. Some of you have been there. Some of you are there right now, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to give you a bit of encouragement. It's in the Bible. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's good news. Finally, we come to number six. The final, this is the most important one of all. It's the last one, and it's found in the final two chapters of the book of Jude. Not chapters, verses of the book of Jude. And I have used these verses many times as a benediction here on Sunday morning. Listen to these words. You've heard them, but listen to them again. And what is the most important part of what I'm about to read? It says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times, and now, and forevermore. Amen. That is praise and worship. It is focused on God. And as we have said many times, and I will say it till the day I die, worship is the most important thing we do. It is the most important thing we do. Not what we just talk about, but what we do. When we come to God, we worship him. It is the most important exercise. It is the most important spiritual discipline. It is the most important gift that God has given to us. Our worship of Almighty God is number one. Many things came to my mind as I was getting ready to talk about this. I mean, my mind was flooded. But God seemed to impress on me one particular thing that he wanted me to share. When we close our services here on a Sunday morning, what do? We bring our gifts of love to him in a financial way to express to him how much we appreciate what he has done for us and is doing for us. And I look at it this way. In many ways, you and I are being tested the way Abraham was tested by God when he said, bring your son, your only son, Isaac, as an offering. Are you listening? You listening? Bring your son, bring yourself, bring your all, bring your first love to me as an offering. That offering plate is a very small symbol of our ultimate trust in Almighty God and our love for him and our obedience to him. And now I'm going to make a statement that is a personal conviction of mine. Writing a check to your church once a month is not bringing an offering to God. It's more like paying a bill. I believe every time you come into his presence to worship him, you need to bring an offering to God. It's the exclamation point at the end of our worship. It's giving yourself to God every time. And what do? When we bring our offerings every week? We raise our hands to him. Why? Because he said to do it. We raise our voices to him. Why? Because he said to do it. We praise him. Why? Because he said, praise me. We sing the doxology, not to one another, to him. So what are we doing? We are echoing these powerful words of Jude. He said, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. Brothers and sisters, I'll leave that to you. It's between you and God. But I've taken a chance now and I've shared my heart. And now I'm going to give you a summary of the six exercises that we have just reviewed. I like having summaries. Number one, build up your faith. Number two, pray in the Holy Spirit. Number three, keep yourself in the love of God. Number four, wait expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, be merciful to those who doubt. And finally, fill your life with worship and praise of Almighty God. That's what he said. I mean, this little book of Jude is so impressive, isn't it? It's just so full of life-changing meat. So go home and read it and meditate on it and allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to you again and allow him to use it for his glory. And when you do that, God's going to open the gates of heaven and bless you and equip you to contend for the faith, whatever that turns out to be in your life. And that is why we often say at the conclusion of every worship service, go in victory.